School in Eastchester, early dismissal at 11:30. Primetime Preschool in White Plains, no PM classes there. Resurrection School in Rye, early dismissal at 11:20. Rye City Public Schools, early dismissal at 1 this afternoon. Rye Country Day School, early dismissal at 12 noon. Rye Neck Public Schools, early dismissal at 11:45. St. Eugene School in Yonkers, early dismissal at 11:30. Saxon Woods Country School, early dismissal at 12 noon. School of the Sacred Heart of Yonkers, early dismissal at 11:45. Small World North of Yonkers, early release at 12 noon today. St. Anne's School in Yonkers, early dismissal at 1 this afternoon. St. Mary's School in Yonkers, early dismissal at 12 noon. St. Gregory the Great Preschool in Harrison, no PM pre-K. St. John the Evangelist Church in White Plains, evening activities there are canceled. Tuckahoe Public Schools, early dismissal at 11 this morning. Union Child Daycare Center in Greenberg, early dismissal at 2 this afternoon. Westchester Jewish Center Religious School, religious education classes there are canceled. Yonkers Public Schools, no afternoon activities. And the Mamaroneck Public Schools early dismissal, the high school and middle school dismissing at 11 this morning, and the elementary school at 11:30. That's the list that we have so far as early dismissals and closings. So of course, we'll keep you updated throughout the day right here. Keep your dial set to AM 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com. With WVOX Snow Alert brought to you by New Rock City, I'm Don Stevens.
Updated weather forecast for Westchester County and facility, big storm developing right over the area over the next 36 hours and cause that a winter storm warning in effect until 6 p.m. tomorrow. We've had some rain during the overnight hours. It's going to be changing over to snow and a wet snow, too, that usually accumulates rather quickly and it'll cause the temperatures to drop. But our highs will range in the mid-30s today. Generally up to 4 inches of snowfall likely for the daylight hours today. For tonight, looks like occasional snow mixed with rain. Additional new 3 to 5 inches of snowfall. And during the daytime on Friday, it'll be periods of snow and snow showers. Looks like up to 3 inches of snow tomorrow. The final accumulations from the storm could range as little as 10 to as much as 15 inches of snow, depending upon where you are. Northern Westchester, a lot more, and southern, closer to the city because of some warmer temperatures starting out. A little bit less accumulation there. Into the weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, we still have that possibility of some snow showers, otherwise variably cloudy with our highs 30 to 35 each day. Start off the new month of March on Monday. March is going to start with partly sunny weather, highs in the upper 30s to near 40. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletier for WVOX and WVIP Worldwide.
The latest forecast from the 1460 WVOX Weather Center, brought to you by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
At Entergy, meeting our region's need for reliable, affordable, and clean electricity is an everyday success story. That's because our Indian Point Energy Center supplies up to 38% of the region's power needs. It also produces some of the least expensive power generated in the region. And most importantly, it does not produce greenhouse gas emissions. That's right, zero greenhouse gases. This plays a key role in helping this area improve its air quality. So it should come as no surprise that a growing number of environmentalists, including Dr. Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace, say nuclear power is a vital tool in the fight against global warming. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.safesecurevital.com. Because the more you know, the more you realize that Indian Point's clean, reliable, and affordable energy is a big part of the climate change solution.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of New Rochelle Academy, the Thornton Donovan School, the Beachmont Tavern, and the Soundshore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Levensoll, your host for this series on the natural world, education, and culture. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, February 25th, 2010. The 67th day of winter, and a winter day it is. If you look out your window, if you are in our listening area, you will see the snow fall, and this is just the beginning of much more to come. However, 3 weeks and 2 days until spring. We have gained 4 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 36 minutes since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose this morning, 6:35. It will set at 5:42 this evening. We will have 11 hours and 7 minutes of daylight today. By contrast, the longest day of the year will have 15 hours and 7 minutes, exactly 4 hours of increased daylight to come. Nice to look forward to that. The moon will rise at 2:12 this afternoon. It will set 5:03 tomorrow morning. We are directly between first quarter and the full moon. The full moon does occur on February 28th. Next high tides in New Rochelle, 8:21 this evening. In Yonkers at 6:34 this evening. Dobbs Ferry, 7:02. And in Peekskill at 7:57 this evening. I'd just like to repeat an item that we did last week. City Manager Chuck Strome and staff member Janice Carroll did a yeoman's job recently in resolving a situation in New Rochelle where steel plates were installed in such a way that every car, truck, and bus which rolled over them made a god-awful racket. Due to their intercession, the hole was properly sealed and made noiseless. Thank you again, Chuck Strome, City Manager, and his staff member Janice Carroll. Now, our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Most recent report of American deaths in Iraq and Afghanistan combined, 5,371. That's 5,371 Americans who have been killed in the two countries. Best estimate of Americans wounded in action in both countries is 36,600. And as always, I remind you, these are not minor injuries. They are serious physical and mental injuries. That's 36,600 Americans only, and many, many others who have been seriously injured. The people we honor today are Captain Marcus R. Alford, age 28, from Knoxville, Tennessee. He was with the Tennessee Army National Guard, one of two officers who were killed when their helicopter experienced a hard landing south of Mosul, Iraq. That was on February 21st. The other officer was Chief Warrant Officer Billy J. Grinder, age 25, of Gallatin, Tennessee, also with the Tennessee Army National Guard. We lost PFC Adriana Alvarez, age 20, of San Benito, Texas. She was with the 42nd Military Police Brigade, killed in combat in Baghdad on February 10th. That's a young lady, 20 years old, an attractive young lady, killed in combat in Baghdad. I didn't know that we were actually sending women into combat, but we are, I guess. She died on February 10th. Lance Corporal Keelan T. Dunn, age 19, of Chesapeake, Virginia. He was with 1st Battalion, 2nd Marine Division, killed in combat in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, on February 18th. Marine Lance Corporal Larry M. Johnson, age 19, from Scranton, Pennsylvania, also with the 2nd Marine Division, also killed in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, on February 18th. Sergeant Jeremy R. McQuarrie, age 27, from Columbus, Indiana, also with the 2nd Marines. I presume this was all in the same firefight, also killed in combat in Helmand Province on February 18th. Those three soldiers were killed on the same day, and they're from the same unit, so I'm guessing it was in the same fight. Private First Class Eric D. Currier, age 21, of Londonderry, New Hampshire. He was with 2nd Marines, killed in combat in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, on February 17th. So I guess that's where it's jumping off. And maybe that's that Marja. I don't have my geography exactly right, but I know there's a lot going on in there now. Navy Petty Officer First Class Sean L. Kalman, age 43, from Fort Worth, Texas. He died while supporting operations in Kuwait on February 16th. So we're kind of far spread over there. Marine Lance Corporal Noah M. Peer, age 25, from Charlotte, North Carolina. He was with the 3rd Marines, killed in combat, also in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, on February 16th. Lance Corporal Alejandro J. Yazzie, age 23, of Rock Point, Arizona, with the 1st Marines, killed in combat in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, on February 16th. Private First Class Jason H. Estapinol, age 21, from Dallas, Georgia. He was with the 2nd Marines, killed in combat in Helmand Province on February 15th. So we have the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th. Many of our soldiers are falling in Helmand province these days. Specialist Bobby J. Pagan, age 23, from Austin, Texas. He was with the Army 4th Infantry, one of three soldiers killed when the enemy attacked their unit with a roadside bomb in Kandahar province, Afghanistan, on February 13th. The other two soldiers killed in that same incident are Staff Sergeant John A. Reiners, age 24, from Lakeland, Florida, with the 4th Infantry. And also with the 4th Infantry, Sergeant Jeremiah T. Whitman, age 26, from Darby, Montana. Corporal Jacob H. Turbett, age 21, of Canton, Michigan. MI is Michigan, yes. 2nd Marines, killed in combat in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, on February 13th. As of February 21st, in addition to the 991 Americans, there have been deaths from many other countries. This is Afghanistan. 11 Australians, 263 Britons, 140 Canadians, 29 Danes, 21 Dutch, 40 French, 31 Germans, 22 Italians, 16 Poles, 11 Romanians, 28 Spaniards, and also people from Belgium, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Estonia, Finland, Latvia, Lithuania, Norway, Portugal, South Korea, Sweden, and Turkey. So we do have a coalition over there now. Unfortunately, the Americans are bearing the brunt of it for sure. 12 of the 15 American service members we have just honored were alive on the date of our last broadcast. 20-year-old Private First Class Adriana Alvarez, a pretty young woman, was killed the day before our last broadcast. Please keep all American servicemen and women in your minds and in your hearts and never let them go. We owe everything to them. Please do not take them for granted. Each of these deaths is a great loss to their families and to all of us. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the very near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Well, this will be time for the Culture Corner, my reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions, and you have the right to differ from them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. Fortunately, you cannot be wrong today, because I have no reviews for you. My guest today is Kateri Carmola, professor in the Political Science Department in Middlebury College, Vermont. Professor Carmola has written a book entitled Private Security Contractors and New Wars, which is scheduled for publication in April. Welcome, Professor Kateri Carmola.
Thank you.
Good morning. How are you, and how is Vermont today?
Well, it was fun to hear the school closures on your
yes
before you started. Mm-hmm. And yes, we're having the same winter weather, and we're glad to have it because we think it belongs up here and not in D.C. and cities that can't handle it.
Oh, no, we can handle it.
We can handle it, yeah. We like it.
But you actually like it. Well, of course, your ski industry is very big.
Yeah, and our kids are already off school this week, so everyone's happy.
Incidental to this, or just they off anyway?
No, the whole week. This is their Feb break.
Oh, cool, cool.
So and you got students were out playing yesterday. Middlebury College students were out sledding and building forts and because we were waiting for snow for many weeks. So this was a very happy event.
So college students have snowball fights? And,
yep, they were playing like kids, which they should.
So you believe that every adult should retain their childlike nature?
Yeah, and they're sort of quasi-adults at the moment, so they have the ability to play out there.
Well, I guess you'd call me a quasi-adult. I like to play, too.
No, the snow is always fun. It's like the beach. We're happy to have snow outside to play in. It can, you know, make us all kids for a little bit.
Now, this book that is coming out in April called Private Security Contractors and New
Much
Wars.
More serious than
yeah.
playing in snow.
Well, we can talk about the snow if you like for longer.
No.
But I think we have some really interesting and important stuff to touch. Let's just start with Blackwater, which is the infamous company that most people have heard of. They are a mercenary bunch of soldiers, quasi-soldiers, who were hired by our government. Our tax dollars, paid these guys to go over there and make a mess and commit murder and various other mayhem. The CEO of Blackwater and its guiding light, I guess if you could call the devil a light, is Eric Prince. Now, you have a lot to say about Eric, and you actually sat across from him at a conference somewhere. Is that right?
Yeah. Could I just for a second, I'll get right back to Blackwater and
sure.
Eric Prince, but it was amazing to hear your listing of casualties. just during the last week in Afghanistan. And of course, you're not mentioning any of the contractors who have died. Total contractors, about 1,700 civilian contractors have died in Iraq and Afghanistan, and 40,000 injured. So we're almost more injured than soldiers, and about one-third of the amount killed, but that's a really significant amount, and no one reads memorials for them like you just did.
No, I don't. First of all, I don't know where to find them. Second of all, it would take a long time. And third of all, I never even thought about that. And also, just a minor correction, this was 2 weeks, not 2 weeks.
But well, back to Blackwater.
Well, but no, while we're on it, I'd like to explore that just a little bit. These contractors, are they military contractors? Are they actually, are they more engineers and advisors and things, or are they actually out there fighting the war?
Well, it's complex. So there's three usual, people break it down into all sorts of levels, but the easiest levels to think about are those who provide security, those who provide training, and those who training and advice, and those who provide logistics. So of this number of contractors who have died, they're from all three, because some of those who provide logistics are dying in the same way that you just mentioned some of the servicemen dying in things like accidents on base, or you mentioned one who died because a helicopter landed wrongly. So there are accidents that happen on base, but there are also logistics contractors who are driving trucks from one location to another and are hit by fire there.
Roadside bombs, right?
Or just come under fire. And then there are also those security contractors who are dying as they provide security for others.
What type of security do they provide?
So there's a number of types. They provide site security, static site security, it's known as. So they're protecting a building. They provide security for convoys. And then they provide security for individual, often civilians, members of the State Department who need to get from point A to point B. They provide security for journalists.
So these people are armed guards, is what
armed
they are.
Guards, right? Mobile armed bodyguards.
But they don't actually go into the firefights.
Well, the problem is they define themselves as providing defensive security.
Right.
So if their noun, their person or their place or their person or their site is fired upon, they will fire back. So they don't say that they actively chase down any attackers or engage in any firefights on purpose to get rid of insurgents here or there. But in providing defensive security, the line is often crossed. As you know, in sports, the best offense is, or the best defense is a good offense sometimes, or the best offense is a good defense. Those two things can be combined. And so in protecting their noun, they are also involved in shooting civilians or shooting back where they think there's a threat. A lot of that has to do with how they perceive threats. And in this environment where reconstruction officials or government officials are often mobile in places that are quite dangerous, because we're trying to reconstruct in an active war zone, these guys often do get pulled into defense that looks
okay,
like
now,
a lot of offense.
Is protecting their noun, is that their terminology?
That's their terminology.
Wow.
They quite rightly promote themselves as doing a good job protecting their noun.
Okay, now we have to separate these from Blackwater?
No, Blackwater actually uses that same definition.
Well, when we talk about these security people, they're not all Blackwater, or are these mostly Blackwater employees?
No, there's many, many companies. Blackwater has become the face of many of these companies, the emblem of a lot of them. A lot of those companies don't want that to happen because they don't want to be seen as similar to Blackwater.
So do these other companies understand that Eric Prince and Blackwater are renegades? Do they recognize that? Or am I overstating it?
And there's always discussion. Do we see ourselves as something akin to Blackwater, or do we differentiate ourselves from them? On the other hand, they're happy to have Blackwater become the face of the worst side of the security industry, because then they can operate a little bit less under that same scrutiny and under that radar.
Blackwater, there was an incident in Baghdad, I believe, I'm not exactly sure, where they just mowed down a bunch of civilians.
Nisour Square, September 2007.
Okay. I hope the other companies don't behave in that way.
Well, this is Blackwater was working for the State Department at the time, and that's really crucial to know that Blackwater is often under State Department contracts.
Which means they're more like the CIA than the military.
Well, the CIA isn't completely State Department run either, but the
they're nothing, right? They don't even exist.
Yeah, they're in between.
Right? Yeah, right.
But so they were protecting State Department employees who were in Baghdad. And when they thought that they were that those employees or their nouns that they were guarding were coming under fire, they fired back in a they reacted too much to what they perceived as a threat, and they ended up. And this is a common thing. They ended up mowing down a lot of Iraqi civilians.
You say it's a common thing. This happens.
Well, this happens both with our own military and I think it's the nature of the conflict in Iraq. Is that you can't tell whether a car is carrying a bomb or whether people are actually pretending to be civilians when they're actually insurgents. The lines are crossed all the time. I think this happened as well in Vietnam. When you're engaged in counterinsurgency, it's really hard to tell who is enemy and who is not. And so this a preemptive use of force, you just anything that keeps coming at you. And I think in this case, they were in a square. They told the other drivers in the square to stop moving. One other driver kept moving, or they perceived a movement in one of these cars, so they just fired into the car and disabled the car completely, as well as killing people. And then at that point, and there's lots of, there's been reports about the state of mind of these Blackwater contractors. Some of them are on steroids. Some of them are overreacting because they're on something. They just started firing randomly at anything they felt was dangerous. They actually sometimes...
Documented that Eric Prince has sent some very questionable characters out there, and people who have been sent out there were sent back.
Right.
Prince turned right around and said, "Oh no, I want these guys over there. Stop wasting our money by sending them back."
Right. One of the things that Blackwater and some of these top tier companies say is that they really do. They provide very good background checks. They make sure that the people that they hire are very high quality. The other companies, as well as Blackwater, they really differentiated themselves by saying we're hiring only top tier people. We're a top tier company, and because their hiring qualifications and their hiring process are not open and transparent, we just had to trust that those people actually weren't former drug abusers or hadn't had questionable military records before they were. Hired, and now that's going to get better. I think there's going to be a lot more oversight of who hire.
We'll talk about that, and we'll also talk about Eric Prince's instructions to these his mercenaries when they go out there about just exactly how to regard Arabs as people. Okay. We'll be right back with Kateri Carmoli. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460, New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Sussex, New Jersey, or England, Clapham, Pity Me, No Place, or Pratt's Bottom, also in England, or in Bayonne, New Jersey. You have logged on to www.wvox.com, and you are listening live. I am Bob Levinsohl. The program is Environmentally Sound. My guest is Kateri Carmoli, and we will be right back.
Won't be around forever.
Old Man Winter!
In the meantime, thanks for keeping warm with WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lori London. Summit or showdown, the president's bipartisan White House healthcare meeting is underway.
Almost all of the long-term deficit and debt that we face relates to the exploding costs of Medicare and Medicaid. Almost all of it. I mean, that is the single biggest driver of our federal deficit.
President Obama giving opening statements, but earlier Republicans were seeming skeptical.
We wouldn't be having this conversation today if the American people were behind this bill.
And the problem, according to Republican Eric Cantor,
we've been cut out of this process a long time ago, and so have the American people.
Even some Democrats split over the sweeping legislation. In Marja, Afghanistan, they're raising the national flag after U.S.-led troops take control of a Taliban stronghold. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Good morning, this is Don Stevens, and this is WVOX No Alert, brought to you by New Rock City. We do have a number of early dismissals to pass along to you and some closings. Let's get right to it. The Academy of Our Lady of Good Counsel in White Plains dismissing at 12 noon today. Alcott School Fox Meadow, no PM pre-K in kindergarten. Alcott School Scarsdale, no PM pre-K in kindergarten. Blindbrook Public Schools dismissing at 11 this morning. The Boys and Girls Club of New Rochelle is closed today. Bryn Mawr Children's Learning Center in Yonkers, early dismissal at 11:30. Chapel School in Bronxville, no afternoon activities. Children's Playhouse of Park Hill dismissing at 11:50 this morning. Children's Playhouse of Yonkers dismissing at 11:50 this morning. Christ the King School, early dismissal at 11. Community Synagogue of Rye, ECC, early dismissal at 11:45 this morning. Congregation Colony Early Childhood Program, no afternoon activities. Edgemont Public Schools, no afternoon activities. Greenberg Central 7 School District, early release at 12:30. Greenberg Graham School District, early dismissal at 12 noon today. Udall Senior Center in New Rochelle, no afternoon activities. Immaculate Conception School in Tuckahoe, dismissing at 12 noon today. Iona Grammar School, dismissing at 11:30 this morning. Iona Preparatory School, early dismissal at 1:17 this afternoon. Mohawk Country Home School, early dismissal at 12 noon. Mount Tom Day School, no afternoon classes. Mount Vernon Public Schools, no afternoon and evening activities there. Our Lady of Perpetual Help School in Pelham Manor, early dismissal at 11 this morning. Our Lady of Sorrow School, no PM classes. Pathways School, early dismissal at 11:30. Primetime Preschool, no PM classes. Resurrection School in Rye, early dismissal at 11:20. Rye City Public Schools, early dismissal at 1 this afternoon. Rye Country Day School, early dismissal at 12 noon today. Rye Neck Public Schools, early dismissal at 11:45. St. Eugene School, early dismissal at 11:30. Saxon Woods Country School, early dismissal at 12 noon. Scarsdale Public Schools, early dismissal at 12 noon today. School of the Sacred Heart of Yonkers, early dismissal at 11:45. Small World North, early dismissal at 12 noon. Solomon Schechter Middle School, early dismissal at 1 this afternoon. Solomon Schechter High School, early dismissal at 1 this afternoon. St. Anne's School in Yonkers, early dismissal at 1 as well. St. Mary's School in Yonkers, early dismissal at 12 noon today. St. Gregory the Great Preschool in Harrison, no pre-K in the afternoon. St. John the Evangelist Church in White Plains, no evening activities there. Tuckahoe Public Schools, early dismissal at 11 this morning. Union Child Daycare Center, early dismissal at 2 this afternoon. Webster Avenue Nursery School in Harrison, no PM classes. Westchester Jewish Center Religious School, religious education classes there are canceled. Westchester Fairfield Hebrew Academy, early dismissal at 11:30 this morning. Woodlands Community Temple, religious education classes are canceled there. Yonkers Public Schools, no afternoon activities. Yonkers Recreation Permit Holders is closed today. Mamaroneck Public Schools, early dismissal. The high school and middle school dismissing at 11 this morning, and the elementary school at 11:30. And Southern Westchester BOCES, all adult evening classes there are canceled. That's the list as we have it. Of course, we'll keep you updated throughout the day of any more early dismissals or cancellations. With a WVOX Snow Alert, this is Don Stevens, and it's brought to you, as always, by New Rock City.
There's an abundance of versatile activities located at Westchester's number one entertainment complex. We are, of course, talking about New Rock City. Now, let's take a moment to just tell you a few of the activities you'll find there. For example, games of pool, a 17-lane bowling alley, an indoor glow-in-the-dark miniature golf facility, video arcades with every imaginable game, 18 movie theaters with an IMAX screen and first-run flicks, and a Modell's unlimited supply of sporting goods. Now, if you're hungry, you have a choice of family-style restaurants from Buffalo Wild Wings to good old American Applebee's. Did you know that New Rock City has a Marriott Residence Inn? And then there's the ever-popular Lofts at New Rock with magical panoramic views of Long Island Sound. In other words, there is everything for everybody at New Rock City, and that's why it's called Westchester's number one entertainment megaplex. New Rock City, right in the heart of New Rochelle, and so easy to get to by taking I-95 to exit 16 or by taking the Hutchinson River Parkway.
Here's the updated weather forecast for Westchester County and vicinity. A winter storm warning in effect until 6 p.m. on Friday. 6 p.m. tomorrow. We'll have rain and snow this morning. Becoming all snow midday. Snow accumulations of 2 to 4 inches. Daytime temperatures into the mid-30s. Periods of rain and snow this evening. Additional accumulations of 3 to 5 inches overnight. Windy. Overnight lows in the upper 20s. Daytime on Friday, periods of snow. Final accumulations will range as little as 9 to as much as 15 inches of snow. Tell me this is all done by the afternoon hours on Friday. Friday's highs near 30. Saturday will be occasional snow and snow showers, mid-30s, light accumulations. Sunday, some snow flurries, then clearing. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri from WVOX and WVIP Worldwide.
Okay, we are back. Just a quick word from my friends at the Learning Shop. If your child, grandchild, friend's child, or any other child, or for that matter, adult, needs learning, then your best bet is the Learning Shop of Harrison, New York at 914-835-1070. Their experience has been honed as educators in public and private schools for about 12 years now, tutors of choice for any number of school districts in Westchester County and beyond. They are the best. If you need anything, please call 914-835-1070. Tell them that Bob Levinsohn told you to call. But there is no extra that they could give you for that. I just appreciate it. They already will give you the very best they have, whether you know me or not. That's the Learning Shop, Harrison, New York, 914-835-1070. Okay, we're back with Kateri Carmola, professor at Middlebury College. Do I have that right? Middlebury in in Vermont? Okay. We were starting to talk about Eric Prince, because I didn't know all of that about the other contractors. I did not know that Blackwater was just one of them. You seem to be more sympathetic to the whole genre of, I don't want to say mercenaries, you can correct me, but private contractors. But Eric Prince, from what I know about him, is a racist. He sends his people out there almost giving them bonuses and prizes for the highest number of Arabs and Muslims killed. I mean, am I overstating it, or is that who Eric Prince is?
I actually hadn't heard that, and I'm not sympathetic to the contractors as a whole, but I do see them as part of a wider trend.
Well, I have an article here from The Nation.
Yep.
I don't know. Have you seen that?
No.
Okay. Well, I will recommend that you look it up. It does say that he encouraged going to Iraq to shoot and kill Iraqis was viewed as a sport or game. Mr. Prince's employees openly and consistently used racist and derogatory terms for Iraqis and other Arabs, such as ragheads or hajis. Mm. Blackwater was smuggling weapons for profit into Iraq, and these were semi-automatic machine guns with silencers, illegal arms. Mm. Blackwater was not abiding by the terms of the contract with the State Department. They were deceiving the State Department.
The idea of calling Arabs hajis and ragheads and so forth, the U.S. military is doing that as well. So I see that as just part of the military culture that's there. And one thing that contractors often do is say, all of the things that you're upset with us about, the military does as well. And that's probably true. The difference between the military and the contractors is that there's a legal infrastructure that can actually deal with crimes that are occurred, whereas there isn't, or the one that is there is rather inoperable with private contractors.
Well, Eric Prince answers to Jesus Christ and probably his mother Mary, right? He is a Christian crusader. He thinks that the Christians are the only ones who have any place, right? Not only the Muslims. I presume I, as a Jew, should worry about this guy.
Right.
This one guy, John Doe, number two, actually, from this Nation article, says, on several occasions after my departure from Mr. Prince's employ, his management has personally threatened me with death and violence. And my question to you is, should you, for shining the light on him, be worried about a retribution from Blackwater? And should I, for airing this?
Well, I'm not somebody who goes around being worried about speaking, you know, my opinion, and then getting, you know, hunted down by
so should I worry?
Team, enforcers or something like that. I do think that the atmosphere, seeing themselves as paramilitary Christian crusaders trying to help out a Christian nation defending themselves against Muslims in a bunch of different ways, was part of the corporate culture of Blackwater. It's not clear that that's being carried over. Eric Prince is no longer their CEO, and the new leaders say, we're a new Blackwater. We're trying to work much more openly and have not the same Christian face
new
to
leaders.
Our organization.
So Eric,
and
Eric Prince
would say
is where?
That the U.S. military is, although it is there are many religions inside the U.S. military, it also sees itself as having, or there are religious overtones to many of the members of the military when they're there. They see their actions in religious ways. So I don't see that that's necessarily the problem. I see the problem being more that when those actions are carried out, there is no way of, well, first of all, there's no good way to hire companies that which we can trust. And you said earlier that I'm sympathetic to the companies as a whole. I'm not sympathetic. This is a matter of judgment in some sense, but as an academic, what I'm interested in is how this trend towards more contracting has occurred and how certain companies like Blackwater have positioned themselves to be rather necessary to our own military endeavors.
Okay, so we understand that this is a an intellectual, scientific, if you will, certainly a scholarly interest that you have, and I presume your book is of that nature too. And I can imagine that certain contractors, let's say, or mercenaries might be of some value at some point. But this malfeasance, now, I'm guessing that you don't support that.
Absolutely not. Okay. Not among the military or among contractors.
Well, of course. Now, of course, Abu Ghraib. Well, let's just touch on Abu Ghraib for a moment. There were so many levels. Nobody really knew who gave the orders there. Presumably, the soldiers who committed these atrocities were made to feel that it was okay. Now, was that by their military officers or by CIA officers or by Blackwater guys?
Yeah, that's a really good. Well, there weren't Blackwater guys there, but there were contractors. There were contractors from two other companies called CACI, C-A-C-I, and Titan, who provided translators and interrogators. So there were contractors there, and I think when you say Blackwater, you just mean security contractors.
No, I didn't, but I'm willing to accept that correction.
Yeah. So the what happens in a place like Abu Ghraib, Abu Ghraib is a great example, like a microcosm of the war in Iraq as a whole, is that you get very unclear circumstances, very unclear orders, and very unclear chains of command. And in the absence of any real clear chains of command and clear directives of what to do and what not to do, people start inventing ways of interrogation. And they also create what I say that in Abu Ghraib, another piece I wrote, I said what happened was you had an ad hoc chain of command which was created, mixed up between possible Israeli private contractors who were there, CIA guys, and then there was this way in which those who had had a lot more military experience or who had had former special operations experience, and they were working as contractors.
Hold on, Katie, I have to stop you because we have to take a break. But something went really wrong over there. We'll come back for yet another segment. We're going to take about another 4 or 5 minute break. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460, New Rochelle, New York, and we will be right back.
Cold enough for you?
All winter long.
It's freezing.
We're the hot spot on your radio.
It's hot.
WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu, trying again for health care reform.
It became a very partisan battle. And politics, I think, ended up trumping practical common sense.
President Obama speaking to lawmakers as a bipartisan summit on health care overhaul kicks off. Republicans telling the president they want him to succeed, but that he needs another plan.
We believe that our views represent the views of a great number of the American people who have tried to say in every way they know how, through town meetings, through surveys, through elections in Virginia, New Jersey, and Massachusetts, that they oppose the health care bill that passed the Senate.
That's Senator Lamar Alexander. As a major snowstorm takes aim at the Northeast, airlines canceling hundreds of flights, and Afghanistan's government raising its flag over the southern Taliban stronghold of Marja, taking official control. Fox News, we report, you decide.
When it's time.
a song, we go to the Loft Recording Studios. But when we need some hardware, we go to Cornell's. 310 White Plains Road, Route 22, East Chester, New York. Cornell's!
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of McGovern, Connolly, and Davidson, Tony Cerreo's T&R Jewelers, Iona Prep, and the Sound Shore Medical Center of Westchester. The great and growing hospital for you and yours.
WVOX.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Columbus, Ohio, Columbus, Indiana, or Georgia, or in Dallas, Georgia, or Texas, or in Christmas Pie, UK, you have logged on to www.wvox.com and you are listening live. And if you're not listening live, or if you want a record or to hear this again, go to my personal website, www.environmentallysound.org. This program will be uploaded within a couple of days, and it will be there to be linked and whatever else. And that goes for the all interviews on this program. Okay, let's get back to Kateri Carmola. Let's get back to Kateri.
Yep, I'm right here.
Okay, we're talking about Abu Ghraib briefly. We have about another 8 or 9 minutes. Do you suppose that Dick Cheney and that crowd knew about Eric Prince and the kind of person he was before they hired him, or was he just one of the available contractors and he just kind of slipped in under the radar because he's kind of a slippery guy?
Jeremy Scahill has written the best book on Blackwater, and so I don't know the details of exactly, you know, which kind of possible conspiracy had occurred in terms of getting Blackwater going. I do know that he was independently wealthy enough that he could start his own training facility in Moyock, North Carolina, and that it was gradually as a training facility for appeared on the Defense Department's website, radar. It was as a training facility in the late 1990s that he would start training special operations forces. They outsourced their own training to these facilities, and then by making connections with special operations forces and police units and military at this training facility, he then branched out to begin offering his own services on contract. But that had been actually done. There were a number of companies in the UK who had done this kind of thing. This was a known way of offering, you know, for-profit services to the governments that need to expand their military capabilities. And the interesting thing about Blackwater right now is that they, you know, they're a multifaceted company. Not only have they renamed themselves Z, but they have an offshore company called Greystone. They have another new company out there called Paravant, which is a great name. It's kind of like paramilitary, but moving forward. They've got Air Force called Presidential Airways.
And Prince himself has a number of private planes, does he not?
That's right.
And
sure.
Didn't he now? Do I have this right? That at one point when you met him, he was
inviting. He offered to fly us back in his private plane.
Yeah, he invited all the ladies, right?
That's what we compared in the bathroom. Yes. Have you gotten an offer to be flown back to D.C. on the private jet? Well, yes. Have you? Yes.
Now we're privy to the ladies' room. I love it.
Well, that's gossip, but it's true.
Well, you were there.
We were offered private flights from D.C. to the training facilities if we wanted to visit. And
you were there, so this is not hearsay. This is your direct experience.
No, we were there. Yeah, I was there. This was in Chicago in 2006.
Did you get the impression that he was a charming guy, a monster, an evil guy? What was
No,
your
not
impression?
A monster at all, but not necessarily charming either. I think the character, and I've interviewed many of private security contracting, the heads of these organizations, and they all see themselves as good businessmen trying to provide a service where there is need for one. They see themselves often as humanitarian actors trying to provide something like peace and security and stability for U.S. government officials, maybe, that they're guarding, but also a business that's trying to operate and, you know, do the right thing in a humanitarian crisis as well, or something like a Shell oil company trying to operate in Nigeria. They hire these guys as well to provide security for their pipelines, security for their CEOs. So they see themselves as providing what they see as a human right, which is personal security in dangerous zones and allowing for free movement and travel in places where that's being impeded. So they really see themselves, and the Christianity part comes in as well. They see themselves as humanitarian Christian actors like many NGOs do.
Well, the Crusades were that way too, right?
The Crusades were that way, and there were Knights of the Templar. There were military monks who provided hospitals and services for the Crusaders along the way. And there's one very interesting organization, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, which Eric Prince is connected to. It was a longstanding organization that's quite interesting. Just Wikipedia it if any of your listeners are interested. Mm-hmm. It's a membership of a class of people who call themselves knights and see themselves in service to U.S. foreign policy goals, and at the same time as they see themselves connected to Christian goals with a military background.
And well, guess what? Al Qaeda also, they have God on their side too. Allah
is
the one fueling their passions. So it's Allah, which is the Arab word for God, against God or Christ or whatever is the American, the English word for God. So it's God against God. Is that it? Your God is better than my God?
Yeah, in political science, we say it's non-state actor against non-state actor. And you're connecting quite rightly. If you're a non-state actor, what's going to motivate you? One thing that motivates you is service to something much higher, and that is higher than the state, and that is God and your vision of God or your vision of a humanitarian world. I mean, I'm connecting here those who see themselves in service to something like God with those who see themselves in service to something larger than the state, and that would be something like human rights.
Okay, yeah.
I'm connecting both of them.
Yeah, and human rights and just decency. I mean, you don't have to tell me what decency and honesty and justice is. You don't have to tell an Arab. I'm sure you don't have to tell Dick Cheney that, and you don't have to tell... what's that guy we're trying to catch? The Al Qaeda guy. The main guy, Bin Laden.
Oh, Osama Bin Laden.
Bin Laden. You don't have to tell him was
public
decent.
Enemy number one.
Yeah, to us, but yeah. Public hero number one to them.
Right.
Just as many people think that Cheney and Bush were great, and over there they think that they were the devils. So when it comes to decency, both of them are indecent as far as I'm concerned. I don't think Cheney's a decent guy. I don't think he represents my country in any way. And I think Bin Laden, with his passion for killing either Americans, Israelis, and innocent civilians, including innocent Arab civilians, I mean, that guy's a lunatic.
Well, there's a way of seeing private contractors as the equivalent. They're fundamentalist Americans or fundamentalist capitalists. In a way, they are the equivalent of the fundamentalist Islamic because they see themselves as non-state, often maybe helping a state, like helping the Palestinians or helping the Taliban or something.
Well, the Palestinians,
helping state actors.
Palestinians should be helped.
Right. So
I'm
they
not
see
sure about
themselves
the Taliban.
As helping them as paramilitary to the state endeavors of Palestinians or something. Then clearly Osama bin Laden sees that. But they see themselves as acting in a much more fluid, non-state way. And these guys, I mean, if you would say private contractors in general, most of them don't see themselves as Christian actors first and foremost. They see themselves as business actors.
And not patriotic Americans, just businessmen.
Well, they combine them. I mean, that's the thing. Eric Prince is a really interesting character there. He sees himself first and foremost as a patriot. And what's fascinating for me is to see the ways in which you can combine Christian endeavors with patriotic endeavors with also business endeavors and humanitarian endeavors. Those four things come together here in a character and a company which can see itself as promoting the highest values of what it means to be an American. Hmm. Private entrepreneurship, humanitarian goals, a connection to something like church and overarching humanitarianism, as well as a state.
I don't think it's humanitarian goal to just kill Arabs because they're Arabs.
Well, yeah, I agree. But they see themselves and akin to a lot of disaster workers, people who go to a disaster and try and provide some method of acting within chaos. Mm-hmm. And they're addicted to the chaos as well, and that chaos can allow them to behave in ways that are not... or a little bit crazy.
Well, we know all military is like that. Soldiers pillage and rape and plunder. They do that. They always have. They still do. I'm sure American soldiers do it when they're not being watched. Certainly in Vietnam, we had a atrocities committed. So that is the nature. I mean, your life is on the line. You see your buddies dropping and being killed by this enemy, whoever they may be.
And you have license
and,
to behave.
And you have license to punish them for that, certainly. Right. And what's going on in the Congo is we can't get into that right now, but that's an amazing example of how torture and rape are used as tools of diplomacy, for goodness sakes. Okay, we don't have very much time. I would like to ask you a question I've had for a long time. Perhaps you're the one who can answer it. When I see in these listings of our fallen soldiers, some of them die of non-combat related causes. Do you have any clue what they're talking about?
Accidents, I would think. Accidents on base.
So many accidents?
Absolutely. The accidents are heavy, but it could also be suicide.
Oh.
There's been a large degree of suicide going on. And then, you know, military-on-military violence.
Military-on-military?
So it's killing our guys? It's suicide, or it's violence among members of the military.
You mean our guys fighting and killing each other?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
So
I had no idea there was anything like that going on.
And I think there's actually rape going on, military-on-military rape. It's not a casualty or in terms of a death, but I have an aunt who works as a psychotherapist at Fort Drum in upstate New York, and she says people are coming back with incredible, not just traumatic brain injury, like you said before, those injuries that we see in the numbers are very serious injuries, but also an amazing amount of post-traumatic stress, and a lot of that post-traumatic stress is based on the threat of violence they felt from other military members.
Wow. Okay. Professor Kateri Carmola, I would love to talk to you for much longer, but I'm afraid we've run out of time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being here. I'll email you that Nation article.
Thank you.
It pays for you to read that. Okay. Thank you so much for being with us.
Good luck with your storm.
Thank you.
Bye.
I would like to thank Professor Kateri Carmola for joining us today. I want to say that it is incredible to me that my country hired Blackwater and a man of Eric Prince's ilk to handle our most sensitive commitment, but unfortunately, I can't say that. The errors, deceits, bad judgments, and outright un-American decisions were more the hallmarks than the exceptions of the Cheney years. War is never to be taken lightly, and clearly the world watches every war waged everywhere, most especially when my country is involved. Your country, the United States. Will the disgrace of Abu Ghraib ever be erased? Abu Ghraib ever be erased? Will Prince and his henchmen be brought to justice? Will decency and justice ever replace religion and blind patriotism as the keystones of America? Just a few questions. I have no idea of the answers. Our thought for the week, we can never allow people who use non-democratic means, violence instead of arguments, knives instead of debates, to set the agenda. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio. Next up, Howard Sturman. He's not an avatar alien like Neytiri, but he's almost as cute. I am Bob Lebensoll. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle.
Remember, the winters are remarkably mild.
When you turn up the heat with AM 1460, WVOX New Rochelle, and WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. What derailed healthcare reform?